Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am your host and tour guide, Yada. Each weekday morning here on GCN, I strive to expose the beguiling and the destructive myths that are associated with religion and with politics, also with patriotism in the media, even with military and economic schemes. If you listen, your eyes may be open and you may ultimately change your mind towards some of these human institutions. Instead of merely presenting the news this morning, my mission will be to help you understand what is occurring behind the headlines, all while predicting how these events will shape our world over the next 20 years. In our second hour, we're going to engage Yahweh on his terms, by way of his one and only covenant and through his always dependable Torah teaching, so that with his guidance, you will be able to replace your religion with reason and engage in a relationship with God. Our number for those who would like to question, criticize, or affirm anything that is said over the next 2 hours is 877-300-7645. As a program note, tomorrow on the program during the first hour, we're going to have David Rubin, who is an expert on all things Israel. He wants to speak about the nomination of Chuck Hagel to be the Secretary of Defense. Ben Barak, who is a regular guest on the program, will be here on Thursday, the following day, to talk about all of the many things that are in American politics. And then on Friday, as we have for some time during our second hour, we're going to have the return of IQ Al Rasuli, who is the world's foremost expert on all things Islam. On Friday, he and I will cite jihad quotes from the Quran and Hadith, so there would be no mistake as to what the intent of jihad is. We're covering a series of articles yesterday on the French invasion of Mali. And I spoke of that invasion as being poorly conceived because of the fact that the French, like the Americans, are unwilling to acknowledge who the enemy is, and they're unwilling to deploy the only weapon that can be used against this enemy that has any chance of success, and that by using bullets and bombs, they will simply embolden this enemy, and they will make this enemy far more fierce. The international media, the media in Europe in particular, for the most part, is willing to refer to the jihadists in Mali as being Islamists. Islamist is kind of the new media phrase for radical Islam, and it is supposed to convey a concept of these people are at the extreme interpretation of Islam as opposed to those nice, peaceful, loving Muslims. Well, the reality is that there is only one Islam. According to the Quran, which is the only binding document in Islam, a peaceful Muslim ceases to be a Muslim, becomes a hypocrite. Allah says that peaceful Muslims must be killed by jihadist Muslims so that Allah himself can attend to their torture in hell. There has never been, there will never be, a peaceful Muslim who has any sway in any political climate anywhere in the world. It's not going to happen. Not now. Not ever. And someone might say, oh, well, right now there's a protest of about 1,000 people that are following a pro-peace, anti-terrorist Islamic imam in Pakistan. So how can you say that never will there be a influential voice in the Islamic world on the political and religious scene who is peace-loving, who is not a jihadist? Well, this that particular cleric happens to be a Sufi. A Sufi is to Islam as navel lint is to our bodies. It is less than 0.1% of Muslims are Sufis. A Sufi Muslim is like a new age individual. Someone would say, I'm going to believe whatever feels good. I don't care that I'm using the term Islam that was created by Muhammad. I don't care that I'm going to refer to myself using Islamic terms. I don't care that I'm going to reference the Quran. We're not going to pay any attention to it. We're just not going to care what it says, because our interpretations are all functions of our imagination. And so a Sufi ain't a Muslim. So that's the reality of it. And when you drop bombs and shoot bullets at zealous religious types that have been indoctrinated all their lives into believing that the greatest good that they can do, that the only guaranteed act that they can perform that gets them into the Islamic paradise with multiple virgins and rivers that flow with wine is to kill and be killed on behalf of Allah's cause, compelling everyone on earth to surrender to Allah, then when you have someone who fights back at you, it actually inspires you, because then it gives you the opportunity to be killed screaming Allahu Akbar as a jihadist. And therefore, should your prophet and your religion be right, should your God actually be God, you get an express ticket to paradise. And so by shooting at jihadists, we embolden them. It has the opposite effect of the desired effect. Now, that's not to say that they should be left alone. They shouldn't. But we should use the same tactic that Yah uses against religion, which is evidence and reason. Expose them. And when you use evidence and reason effectively, and you convince people who are normally apathetic, normally ignorant, normally tolerant, to be intolerant of these kinds of ruthless dogmas, then you can make a tremendous change in the world. Well, let's return to that story. By way of background, Islamic groups and secular Tuareg rebels took advantage of some chaos that followed a military coup to seize Northern Mali in April of 2012. So, almost a year ago, there was a coup in Northern Mali, and as a result of that coup, Islamist groups now have totally seized control of that region. The Islamists now are beginning to take control, though, of towns south of that region that are, and they have completely sidelined the Tuaregs. One Islamist group, the Ansardine, has begun pushing further south and seizing additional towns in an attempt to take over the entire country. Their alleged mantra is to impose Sharia law first on Northern Mali, which they have done, then on all of Mali, which they're in the process of doing, and then on Northern and Western Africa, and then on all of Africa, and then on the world. Their mantra is no different than was the mantra of Muhammad, nor is it any different than the mantra of any good Muslim. Prior to this time, more than two decades of peaceful elections had earned Mali a reputation as a democratic country, but that image unraveled in a matter of weeks after the military coup, which left the power vacuum for which the Islamist rebellion sprang forth. It is interesting, of course, that this all occurred during the time that everyone was talking so glowingly about the Arab Spring, and yet this was a militant-oriented jihadist coup taking place in the exact same place of the world, and was not even mentioned in our newspapers. There wasn't a single stitch of newspaper print that was attributed to Islamists acting badly and perpetrating a coup in Mali. Well, what we found, what the French found when they intervened here this weekend, is that the Islamists, the jihadists have up-to-date sophisticated weaponry, and that weaponry has come to them by way of the Libyan conflict, a consequence of us aiding and abetting fundamentalist Islamic terrorists, jihadists, mujahideen, in Libya. And that's why we, the United States and Qatar, the Qataris funneled American weapons, and also the Sudan provided advanced weaponry to the Libyans. And that is why that rebellion became an armed conflict right from the beginning. Well, those weapons now are being deployed in Mali. The French have said, this is their defense minister. What really struck us is how up-to-date their equipment is and the way they've been trained to use it. Why should we not be surprised? The French were, like the Brits, were eager. In fact, very early on, both the French and the British governments supplied counselors and weapons to the Mujahideen, the jihadists in Libya. They trained them how to use these weapons, and they deployed them. And they were murderous with them. And now those same weapons are being deployed in Mali. Now they are fighting against their own weapons. It's very much like the United States has done for decades now, where we manufacture our next enemy. The French have done this. From Libya, this is a direct quote from the French government. From Libya, they have gotten hold of a lot of up-to-date sophisticated equipment, which is much more robust and effective than we could have imagined. French President Holliday said France and Europe would be threatened by the creation of a terrorist state in Mali. I'm here to tell you that if the Mujahideen took over the entire state of Mali, well, that would be tragic for the people of Mali. It would be no threat to anyone outside that's not immediately bordering Mali. And the buffer between Mali and France is so significant that there is a 0% chance that that is true. And my concern there is if you're going to lie to justify an invasion, you ought not invade. It's one of the great mistakes that America has made. We lied to justify our invasion of Vietnam. We lied to justify our invasion of Afghanistan. And we lied to justify our invasion of Iraq. When you do these things, your children die, and your coin is spilled, and you gain nothing in the process. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. To Shattering Myths. I'm your host and tour guide, Yada. You know, there's a question as to why Holliday would lie on the reasons to invade Mali. I mean, there are good reasons to thwart the Islamic advance. Children are being sold into slavery. Women are being raped. Civilians are being dismembered, having hands, arms, and feet cut off in typical Islamic fashion. And everything that these Islamists leave in their wake is becomes a living testament to what hell might be like. It is a despicable, disgusting thing that they are doing because their religion itself is so repulsive. And, of course, they are imposing Sharia law, which treats women worse than we would treat domesticated animals, and provides no freedoms, no opportunities for anyone. And all it does is enrage people to hate without reason. But when you have to lie, when you say that we're invading Mali because Mali falls, it's a threat to France and to Europe, then you have to question, why would you invade? I mean, if you're invading Mali to protect France and Europe, you don't have a justification. It's just like invading Iraq to rid it of chemical and biological weapons. It's like invading Afghanistan as if the plot for 9/11 was conceived by Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda. When you do those kinds of things, you make bad situations worse, which we did with our invasion of Afghanistan, which America did with its invasion of Iraq. It's like the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which we used for the justification of invading Vietnam. All lies. Didn't work. Made bad situations worse. Lots of people die. There are valid reasons, but we seem to be unable to say those valid reasons. The valid reason is that Islam is incompatible with civility. It is a dark and demented dogma that destroys everything it touches. It's the most deadly doctrine ever conceived by man. It is foolish. It is violent. It is grotesquely immoral. And it also to be exposed and condemned. But there's better ways to deal with it than bullets and bombs, which simply enable it. Because the preeminent teaching of Islam is jihad. To die killing peaceful Muslims and non-Muslims. And to continue doing so until the whole world surrenders to Allah. That is their motivation. A spokesperson for the Ansar Dine Islamist group was quoted as saying that the French attacks had focused on three areas, and that's Kona, Drinsa, and Lire, and they have therefore intensified their attacks on those three places. Because why? Because the whole concept of being a jihadist is to die a jihadist, because Muhammad promised a brothel to dead jihadists. That dying as a jihadist was the only guaranteed way into Allah's paradise, where there are rivers that flow with wine and a non-ending supply of virgins to conquer. Ansar Dine tells us everything we need to know about who is responsible here. And yet every article you read strives, even in the headlines, to associate the Islamist with Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is absolutely irrelevant. There is no association between Ansar Dine and Al-Qaeda. Even the Islamist terrorist group that goes by the name of Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb, in that region surrounding the Sahara, even they have no affiliation with the Al-Qaeda that was Osama bin Laden. Osama bin Laden hated those who borrowed his name, who played off of the base name that he had established, the Al-Qaeda, which means the base. Had no relationship with any of them. Didn't fund them. Didn't lead them. Didn't inspire them. Didn't manage them, had no influence of any kind over them. Ansar Dine tells you everything you need to know. Now, you know that in Libya, because we've talked about it so many times on this program, that in Libya, the Islamist who murdered the American ambassador with American weapons was called Ansar Sharia. Those would be the friends and supporters of Sharia law, which is Islamic law, the most repulsive set of legal standards in the world. Well, Ansar Dine is friends of the religion. Friends of the religion. Supporters of the Islamic religion. They're linked to Islam and to nothing else. So maybe we ought to understand why they kill. To Shattering Myths, with our attention on Mali and the French intervention of Mali. We learned yesterday that as the French began to try to reclaim Kona, which was the most recent town or city taken by the Islamic jihadists, that the thing that is known for certain is that 10 civilians were killed, including three children. The Malian army said that they believe that maybe as many as 100 militants have been killed. Well, that's going to require, 7,200 new virgins to be manufactured for Allah's paradise, and probably created another 1,000 jihadists ready to follow in their footsteps. You know, every time America bombed Vietnam. All the Viet Cong, the communists had to do is point to the sky and said, who's dropping those bombs on you? When we dropped napalm in Agent Orange, all they had to do is point to the sky and say, who is dropping those weapons on you? Who is your enemy? And who is your friend? We manufactured more enemy than we killed. The same is true with the French invasion of Mali. German Foreign Minister Guido Westerwelle has ruled out sending German troops to fight in Mali, but welcomed the fact that the Malian army, with the support of France and African states, has managed to stop the Islamist advance. No, they didn't. France is determined to end Islamist domination of North Mali, which they fear could act as a base for attacks on the West and for links with al-Qaeda in Yemen, Somalia, and North Africa. Well, first of all, as you know, al-Qaeda is meaningless. There is no involvement of Yemen in Mali, nor Mali to Yemen. They are very, very, very far apart. And Somalia is so bad. You know, it's Somalia is so corrupt, as is the Sudan, with its Islamic corruption. It's like jumping in a swimming pool and saying, is it possible to get wetter than I already am? There is nothing you could do to Somalia to make the situation better or worse. France's defense minister, Jean-Yves Le Drian, said French intervention on Friday had prevented the advancing rebels from seizing Bamako. So, since they couldn't liberate Kona, let's say that they prevented them from seizing Bamako. We'll wait and see how long that lasts. He vowed that airstrikes would continue. One of the things that we ought to have learned from our experience in Vietnam and then later in our experience in Afghanistan and in Somalia, in Iraq, is that the kind of weaponry that the Western nations like the United States, France, Great Britain deploy are not effective in countering a religious enemy. The airplanes are great if you're going after tanks or radar installations or your bombing infrastructure, but there is no infrastructure when you're dealing with Mujahideen. You know, they're not running around in tanks. They're not wearing uniforms that you can say, there's a battalion of bad guys, let me go and scrape the battalion of bad guys. It's just impossible. The kind of weapons that we deploy are useless in this situation. And then to send young men and women in on foot into these bombed out towns where they are sitting ducks to snipers is inhumane, grotesquely immoral. There really isn't a military way to fight them, and our militaries are built and are extraordinarily expensive in a way that is not conducive to fighting them. As a matter of fact, it's kind of like when we went after Osama bin Laden all those years, and we were continuing to drop, you know, $500,000 cruise missiles on him and all these smart weapons, and we would spend hundreds of millions of dollars a day, and all we did is stir up a bunch of dust. We're destroying ourselves every day that we fight because we're bleeding ourselves dry. The president is totally determined that we must eradicate these terrorists who threaten the security of Mali, our own country, and all of Europe, the defense minister said on French television, all of which was a lie. So you wonder, maybe is Holliday recognizing that France economically is in a really bad place. And it's in a really bad place because it has become, like Greece, it's way too socialistic. The controls over business have made business ineffective in France. And if business is ineffective, there is no economy. And all Holliday is doing is exacerbating, because he's a communist, all of the regulations on business that continue to make it less and less efficient. And perhaps he knows the truth. And he thinks maybe the only way that I have to salvage my reputation is to do what George Bush did and become a wartime president, and people look past all of your other failings and they rally around patriotically their wartime president, support the troops, all that sort of thing. You wonder if that isn't the case here. It's like Bill Clinton in the midst of the Monica Lewinsky affair, where it was obvious that he perjured himself and therefore should have been convicted and gone to jail for having done so, that and certainly should have been rejected by the American people for having sex with a young intern in the Oval Office, that he decided that we would start bombing in the Balkans and started making war with the Serbs on behalf of the Muslims in Bosnia. The same kind of thing may be going on here. French President Francois Hollande's intervention in Mali has won plaudits from leaders of Europe, Africa, and the United States, but is not without its risks. Boy, it's amazing how ignorant or grotesquely immoral people are when they see another Western invasion of an Islamic region and they view it favorably. It raised the threat. It's as if we don't learn anything. It raised the threat for 8 French hostages held by Islamists in the Sahara and for 30,000 French expatriates living in neighboring Islamic countries. Hours earlier, a French intelligence officer held hostage in Somalia by al-Shabaab, which this thing says links to al-Qaeda. Al-Shabaab is not linked to al-Qaeda. It's just another fundamentalist Islamic organization, ruthless, brutal. They killed the French intelligence officer following a failed French commando raid to rescue him. Something that I was distressed to see, but nonetheless knew was probably happening. The United States, which has operated counterterrorism training programs in the region, said that it was sharing information with French forces and considering providing logistics, surveillance, and airlift capability. To provide logistics, surveillance, and airlift capability, we have to engage in the battle. Quote, we have a responsibility to go after al-Qaeda wherever they are, Defense Minister Secretary, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta told reporters, heading with him on a week-long tour of European capitals. This notion, this myth that has been perpetrated that the United States is not at war with Islam, but is instead at war with al-Qaeda and that we must go after al-Qaeda everywhere, is destroying this country. Al-Qaeda is irrelevant. They never were relevant. The 9/11 bombings were not perpetrated by Al-Qaeda. They were perpetrated by Ramzi Youssef. He came up with the plan. He was Abu Shayaf, which is the sword, in the Philippines, was the Islamic group that he was a part of. That Islamic group preceded Al-Qaeda. He conceived the entire plan for the first bombing and the second bombing of the World Trade Centers. And the bombers themselves were not recruited by Al-Qaeda. They were recruited primarily in the Al-Qaeda Mosque in Hamburg, Germany. And so this notion that Al-Qaeda was responsible for 9/11 and therefore they are our enemy is stupid. It's foolish. And it's a myth that is destroying America because we're continuing to lash out at a symptom. The truth is we are at war with Islam, whether we want to be or not, whether we acknowledge it or not. The Islamic terrorists who are operating in Mali call themselves Ansar Dine. They don't call themselves Ansar al-Qaeda. Ansar Dine means friends of the religion. They are supporters of Islam, just like the terrorists that we supported in Libya are Ansar Sharia. They're supporters of Sharia law. It's time that we recognize what the jihadists themselves know, that Islam is at war with the world. It has been since Muhammad fled Mecca in shame, since the Pledge of Aqaba, where the first converts to Islam pledged to wage war against all mankind on behalf of Muhammad. During this war, French aircraft bombarded mobile columns of Islamist fighters and other fighters launched a counterattack to the southwest of the recent clashes. They dislodged government forces from a local town that was just 220 miles northeast of Bamako. French and Malian troops attempted to retake the town, but the Islamists shouting Allahu Akbar kept them at bay. Allahu Akbar tells you who you're fighting. They're not saying Al-Qaeda Akbar. They're shouting Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar means Allah is the greatest. It is the Islamic prayer of fear. It was first uttered when Muhammad, with militants at the ready, well-armed, came upon a peaceful Jewish farming community called Kabar. And Muhammad wanted to stress that his God, Allah, the rock God of the Kaaba, was greater than Yahweh, the God of the Yehudim, the Jews, in the farming community of Kabar. That's how it was. That's the context in which it was created, and it is the meaning of the concept. Allah wants to be greater than Yahweh. Allah is Satan. Malian, by the way, the suicide bombers of 9/11 all screamed Allahu Akbar as they flew those planes into our buildings and killed so many that day. Malian Foreign Minister Taimen Kulabe, said that the situation had become untenable in the north. Every day we are hearing about feet and hands being cut off, girls being raped, and every store being looted. The group has said that the shrines of for other religious groups in the territory had been destroyed, including UNESCO World Heritage Sites, because they were Islamic. Yes, girls are being raped. Hands and feet are being cut off. Property is being looted. Well. Welcome back to Shattering This. I want to turn the page, but not very far. This report from Reuters. Syria's civil war is unleashing a staggering humanitarian crisis. On the Middle East, as hundreds of thousands of refugees flee the violence, including gang rape, an international aid agency said on Monday. Opposition Axis said an airstrike on rebel-held territory southwest of Damascus killed 20 people, including women and children, adding to the more than 60,000 people that have been estimated to have been killed in the 21-month-old conflict. That began, by the way, as a peaceful revolution, but was turned into a civil war because Qatar, Iraq, not the government of Iraq, but the Sunnis that were being armed by America in Iraq, and Saudi Arabia thought that this would be a good place to conduct a proxy war against Iran in the aftermath of America invading Iraq and giving Iraq, which had been Iran's enemy, to Iran. Iran's influence now was so greatly expanded that Saudi Arabia felt threatened. And they turned Syria into a proxy war. And so while Assad is amongst the most despicable men in the world today, the death toll in Syria should not be principally blamed on him, but instead be blamed on the emir of Qatar and the ruling family, the Saud family in Saudi Arabia. Over 600,000 Syrians have fled abroad, many to neighboring Turkey, Lebanon, and to Jordan as violence has spread and international efforts have failed to find a political solution. Now, there will be no political solution. Refugees interviewed by the International Rescue Committee cited sexual violence as the major reason they have fled the country. Imagine that. Sexual violence in the midst. This is a brutal civil war. 60,000 people dead, hundreds of thousands of people mutilated. And yet the refugees are citing sexual violence as the major reason they have fled the country. Gang rapes often happen in front of family members, and women have been kidnapped, raped, tortured, and killed. And let me tell you, the vast preponderance of the rapes, of the kidnappings, of the torturing is being perpetrated not by Assad's troops, but by the rebels the United States, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia are supporting. The government would have absolutely no interest in kidnapping women. Government morale would be lessened, not heightened. Government troops would become less controllable, not more controllable, should they be allowed to rape. Now, I'm not saying that the government doesn't kidnap. They do. They kidnap men and boys who are involved in inspiring armed revolt against them. I'm not saying they don't torture. They do. They torture those men and boys to find out who they're working with, where their weapons are. It is the very Mujahideen, the Free Syrian Army, that the United States, most of Europe, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, are arming and equipping, that are using our weapons to kidnap women en masse, to gang rape them, to torture them, and then to kill them. This is a situation that is exactly like Iraq and Afghanistan, where we are supporting the wrong side. As bad as the governments are in those countries, the people that we are supporting are worse. And we need to come to our senses. You know, it is so superficial to say something like Saddam Hussein was a bad guy and therefore deposing him and killing him was a good thing. The world is better off without Saddam Hussein. That is so superficial. Because while it is true that Saddam Hussein was a bad guy, Iraq is far worse off now than it was. And so is the world because we gave Iraq to Iran. This is the consequence of deposing Saddam Hussein, the rape of all of these women. And so some of those people who just leap off and say, boy, it's a really good thing. We really got that Saddam Hussein. He ought not have poked his finger at America. Boy, we showed him. These rapes are on your soul. Those of you who supported the invasion of Iraq, the Iraqi war, and the Afghan war, the rape of these women is on your soul.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effect